Welcome back. You're listening to the, what are we, Mike? This is June 15th. June 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show here on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore, and special guest Circuit Judge Carmen Means. Carmen, again, thank you so much for taking some time to be with us on the program today.
My pleasure.
The Mike Moore Show is brought to you by the Montgomery Agency of Huron for your real estate needs. Call them 352-3332 or toll-free 1-800-894-3346. Did you ever get the cookie thing figured out from the open house thing?
Yeah, I did. I had a long conversation with Jim Tharp, the leader of Montgomery Agency. I informed him that I expect our listeners to be taken care of at his open houses. So he's going to have cookies, chips, fruit. You know, all kinds of good stuff for our listeners that come and mention the show at an open house. They're going to be treated to something special from Montgomery Agency.
You do understand that this man pays us money to do this program, and you're ordering him around like that, Mike?
I'm just trying to help our listeners. You know, I'm out there just trying to do the best I can for them. Let's get them fed. Let's feed these people that listen to our show.
We are talking about the Beadle County Drug Court, which will be starting next week here in Huron. And, Mike, I'm going to hand the mic over to you, and you can continue the conversation.
All right. And, thanks, Judge, for coming. So let's talk about a little bit more explanation on how a person actually gets into drug court.
Okay. We hope to get referrals to drug court from any number of agencies. I think our law enforcement are our boots on the ground to kind of know who is appropriate for drug court, and we hope to spend some time educating them about who we're looking for in drug court. We do have members of law enforcement on our team. Skip McQuethy, who has been hired as our drug court service officer, and he was our law enforcement liaison before that, so we kind of stole him off the team and put him on the staff. Prosecutors or defense attorneys can also refer drug court clients to drug court. There are legal screens that will disqualify someone from being on the or being in drug court. You cannot be a violent offender, you cannot be a sex offender, and you cannot be a drug distributor. If you are any of those things, you cannot be in drug court. Our policy is that the state's attorney's office also has a veto. If they think someone is inappropriate for drug court, they can veto that person. And the idea is that the state's attorney's office probably has more information about ongoing investigations and who might be appropriate and who might be inappropriate for drug court. So they do have that veto power. And so once someone is referred to drug court, then they are evaluated by drug court service officers to determine their need. And there are some risk instruments that allow a person to be screened as to what their level of risk is. In addition, then they are assessed by a chemical dependency counselor to see if they meet the diagnosis of either drug or some other substance addiction. And if they meet the criteria and they get through all of those things, then that application is presented to the drug court team, and the team votes on whether to accept or deny a person admission into drug court.
And I think that's a good distinction to make, because I think when a lot of people hear the term drug court, they think, well, if a person's arrested for a drug offense, they go to drug court. And that's not what happens here. This is a person is arrested for a drug offense. If they meet the criteria, their disposition would be then to drug court. So they would appear in front of a circuit judge,
yes,
be sentenced to drug court as part of their sentencing structure, and then have to successfully complete that program. Is that how it works?
That's exactly right. And there are different modalities to do drug court, but in South Dakota we are post-adjudication, which means the person enters a plea to a drug felony, and the circuit court judge has discretion about whether to sentence the person into drug court, and that's based on whether the team has accepted them, and then obviously if the judge agrees that the person is appropriate, he or she can be sentenced into drug court.
Right, so ultimately if a person's, and usually the people that we're talking about are individuals with probably more than one drug offense.
Correct.
But they don't have any violent history, which means they don't have any, and not only with the current arrest, but with any violent history in the past.
Exactly. If the person has previously been convicted of a crime of violence, then they are not eligible to be right. in drug court.
Or a sex crime.
Or a sex crime.
Or a trafficking crime.
Right.
And then they come to court. These people would otherwise likely be on the fast track to go in the penitentiary because of their multiple prior convictions.
Absolutely. I remember being, when I first attended a drug court symposium, again, as a potential defense attorney, I was struck at who they were looking for to participate in drug court. I remember thinking, well, that person's going to the pen. They're not going to drug court. They're going to the penitentiary. And that's the idea, is to try to save those penitentiary days, not spend that money on drug-addicted people who are nonviolent folks, and instead try to work with them to keep them in the community and try to rehabilitate them into, you know, sober, productive individuals.
Right. Then they could possibly stay working, stay with their family, you know, keep their job, keep that income. Going to the penitentiary obviously creates a lot of different problems in their life. And if their major problem is addiction, this is something, a tool that we can use to keep them out of the penitentiary and try to get them away from their addiction.
That's exactly right.
And that happens in that context. So we go to court. The defendant enters a plea to a possession of a felony charge, possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, cocaine. It could be prescription drugs. And then this prosecutor would make a recommendation to the circuit court judge that we believe that he should be, or this individual should be sentenced to drug court. The defense attorney is obviously in agreement with that. And then the circuit judge can decide yes or no, I'm not going to. I'm going to send him to the penitentiary instead.
Correct. And a person who is potentially coming into drug court or sentenced to drug court, they have been at that point approved by the team and accepted into drug court. But just because you're accepted into drug court by the drug court team doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will be sentenced to drug court. The final say is with the circuit court judge.
Right. And does that happen, like when a person enters a plea to a felony, they do something we call PSI or pre-sentence investigation. Does that recommendation come prior to the plea or during the pre-sentence investigation when they do their treatment evaluation, or do you know? Or
well, yeah, typically and hopefully the plan is to get a person into drug court more quickly than you would see in a typical criminal adjudication. So those cases are kind of fast-tracked a little bit. There isn't that pre-sentence investigation that would typically take 4 to 6 weeks. It's essentially the chemical dependency evaluation, what we call the LSIR, which is a risk assessment tool, and then the application and acceptance by the drug court team. And so the goal is, and we haven't met this in Cottington County, it's a goal, but we haven't met it, 30 days from arrest to sentencing into drug court. The faster you can get someone into drug court, the more effective drug court will be. And so you're trying to short-circuit some of those criminal procedures that take a long time, including the pre-sentence investigation, including a lot of other things. And so you're trying to speed that up a little bit from the typical criminal case.
In the drug court here, there's a maximum number of people that will be allowed in it because of the intensive supervision?
Yes, typically 15 at a time. And so in Cottington County, we've been in existence for a year, and we've got 12 participants. We're looking at our 13th applicant, and so we're moving along in those numbers. But that's the goal, is to try to get them up to 15, and that's full capacity.
All right, and that's to allow that court service officer, in our instance, is going to be Skip McQuethy, to be able to make sure that these individuals are following the protocol or the plan that we have set up for them.
Yeah, and supervision is very intensive in drug court. I remember being struck by, we'd had a drug court participant when we were new who'd been in drug court for 50 days, and our drug court team members had a total of 150 contacts with that individual. And a contact can be a drug test, could be an office meeting, it could be a phone call to an employer. There's lots of things that a contact means. But in that 50 days, we had 150 contacts for that individual. So the supervision is incredibly intense.
And if they don't successfully complete drug court, then they go back in front of the circuit judge that originally sentenced them to drug court?
That's right. If a participant is terminated from drug court, then they go back on a probation violation and face the judge. We have had that happen one time in Cottington County, and that person then was sentenced to 5 years in the state penitentiary.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the program. We talked about that there's going to be 3 urine tests a week, that every Monday, is it Monday or some day during the week in Beetle County, that they have to come to court?
Yes.
All the individuals in the program?
Yes. And so there's one court appearance per week. There's different phases of drug court. And so in our drug court, there are 3 phases. In phase one, a participant comes to court every week. In phase two, it's once every 2 weeks. In phase three, it's once a month. And so really the only intensity of supervision that changes through the different phases is how often they come to court and how often they have to talk to the judge. But during the entire 3 phases, they are monitored intensely by probation, sometimes daily, it seems like, but urinalyses at least 3 times a week, sometimes more often. Participation in an approved treatment program that has evidence-based practices and is proven to be hopefully a successful treatment program. We have had drug court clients in Cottington County have to ramp up their treatment because they were not successful on an outpatient program, have had to go to an inpatient program. We do, in phase one in particular, it is said that sobriety and staying clean is not an immediate goal. It's more down the road. I mean, you expect that there will be some relapses and there will be some trouble staying clean and sober. And then there are sanctions that we use to try to deal with that. And there's, in addition to the sanctions, there's a treatment response. So do we need to up their dosage of treatment? All of those things are looked at by the drug court team as the client progresses through the program.
All right. We'll continue this conversation after the break. You're listening to The Mike Moore Show on 1210 KOKK.